Sunday, Yud Ches Tishri, Chol HaMoed Sukkos, Rabbi Avraham Zideman, Be'inyan, what have the Romans ever done for us?
Good morning. So, a few years ago I saw this beautiful piece from Sipsin Chaim. So if you've seen it, welcome to... I pretty much want to go through that piece in Sipsin Chaim just because I found it so amazing. Shesarav. So it starts off, we bring the Gemara, Mesechas Avodah Zarah, Daf Base, at the bottom of Amud Aleph, moving on to Amud Base. And it says, La Sizla Voi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring a Sefer Torah, he's going to hold it, and he says, whoever was Oisek in this Torah can take the reward. So immediately comes along all the Avodei Kochavim, comes along the Romans, and they say, we want our reward. And Hashem says, what do you do? What did you do to be able to receive this reward? And they say, what do you mean? I say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, we created lots of shuks. We created lots of bathhouses. We made loads of silver and gold. And you know the Jews use them. So all this we did for you. And Hashem says, rubbish. Fools. What are you talking about? All that you did for yourself. So the Brisker Rav points out, that we're talking about Olam HaEmes here. And it can't be that they're lying. If they said that they did it for the Jews, how can it be that Hashem says, you're lying? That you're not able to say a lie in Olam HaEmes. So how can it be that they said, we did it for the Jews, and it happens to be that they didn't do it for the Jews? So the Brisker Rav answers and says that they were right. The fact is, everything which they did was used for the Jews. If they built a bridge, the fact is that Jew, sometime many generations later, was used by a Jew. Edgware Road was used by someone trying to get to a wedding on time. So therefore it was actually that whatever they built, the Romans built, it was actually for us. And when they built a bathhouse, it wasn't their intention, but the fact is Jews did benefit from it. And therefore they argue and say, look, everything we did, the fact is the Yidden benefited from it, and therefore give us our reward. So in that case, why don't they get reward? What is wrong with their taina? So Hashem says, what's wrong with their taina is that you didn't have the kavana that you're doing it for the Jewish people. Now why does it make a difference if they have the kavana or not? If the fact is, at the end of the day, what they did was for the sake of the Yidden, who cares if that was their kavana or not? So if we go to Derech Hashem, in the first chelek, Perek Dalad, Sifkat and Zion, Derech Hashem explains that there's two types of mitzvahs. There is a Maisa mitzvah, and then there is everything else known as Masha Adam Ishtamash Min Ha'olam Masarko, things which people do for the sake of living. So, there is a Maisa mitzvah. There is something which is intrinsically a mitzvah. It is Be'etzem a mitzvah. Shaking the lulav of an esrog is a mitzvah. Now, it happens to be the halacha is that you need to have kavana, mitzvahs suichin kavana, but it's viewed pretty much like having kavana is just like a key to open up the mitzvah. It's not that the kavana makes a mitzvah of lulav and esrog. Lulav and esrog is a mitzvah. Happens to be, you need to have kavana to know, be conscious of what you're doing when you're doing it. That's one category. So putting on tefillin, the fact is, tefillin is a mitzvah. It's not that my kavana makes it into a mitzvah. There is something intrinsically kadosh about the tefillin. That is one category. But there's a whole other category. And that whole category is eating, sleeping, walking, talking, going about your affairs. And that is not in itself a mitzvah. There is no mitzvah whatsoever in eating. However, one can transfer eating into a mitzvah. And the way you do that is with your kavana. So therefore you've got... So again, you've got the two categories. One category is that without the kavana, it is be'etzem a mitzvah. It is a mitzvah to shake lulav and esrog, to fill in. The examples are that. Whatever it is, that is a real intrinsic mitzvah. Then you've got the other category, which is not actual a mitzvah itself. There is no mitzvah to sleep. However, if you have the right kavanas, then that transforms a normal action into a mitzvah. So it's incredible as well. If you're going to go to bed at night, and you, because you're tired, then there's no mitzvah in that. But if you think, before you go to sleep, Hashem, I'm going to go to sleep in order to give me energy for the next day, then just with that thought, it's incredible, then all your 8 hours, halavai, sleep will be able to use, that would be transform it into a mitzvah. That's the difference between the two mitzvahs, and that's why actually in the Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim, right at the very beginning, I'm looking over here, Siman Reish Lamed Aleph, Sif Aleph, he says, you know what, if you have to have a shluf in the afternoon, Yishnan, then have a shluf. But even if you have a shluf in the afternoon, don't do it for the sake of enjoyment, but have your afternoon shluf in order to be able to strengthen your body to do Avodas Hashem. Anything which you get a benefit out of this world, don't do it because I'm eating this chulen for the sake of the chulen, because I like the taste. I'm doing it lichvod Shabbos. I'm eating the chulen because of Shabbos, and then it turns it into something important. Kedesiv, and this is the pasuk. That's the pasuk. The pasuk of bechol drachah dehu is what that which transforms. Sorry. A normal living day action into a mitzvah. V'amu chachamim, the chachamim say, kol ma'asecha yiru l'shem shemayim, sha'afilu d'varim sha'rashus, even things that you're allowed to do, kagon, achila, shtia, halicha, yeshiva, kima, v'tashmish, v'asicha, v'chol tzachi gufcha, yekulam la'avoidas bocha. So therefore you've got two categories. So, now let's go to the case of the Romans. When the Romans built the bridges, when they built the roads, that building a bridge is not a Maisa Mitzvah. There's no Maisa Mitzvah to build a bridge. What is it? It's just working. Now, if you imbue that with a Kavanah of you're doing it Hashem Shemayim, that transforms it into a Mitzvah. If you don't, then it's not.
They don't have a
Chiyuv
to do Mitzvahs.
They don't have a Chiyuv, but they also... But to do Mitzvahs, no, but to be... You can't get Schar for it. Fine, so they don't have no Chiyuv, but you want to get Schar for it? If a non-Jew says, I want to do something for the sake of a Yid, I want to be a Keli for a Yid, so that he can be over the Avodas Hashem. He might not have a Chiyuv, but now when it comes to the end and it says, I want reward, for what? It is between a Chiyuv. He might not be Mechuyuv to be able to make a bridge for the sake of a Jew, but you can't now come to Olam Haba and say to Hashem, I want to get Schar for that. Why? It's going to be between punishment and getting a... You know, there's one thing about being punished, another one about getting a reward. You don't get a reward for doing something which wasn't a mitzvah. Now, could they go out of their way and say, I want to help a yid with his mitzvah? For sure, they could get a mitzvah, you'll get a schar of being a keli for a yid. So again, since they were building bridges and they didn't have any kavana for it, they get no schar. So, what does Gemara say? Carries on. So now, Gemara Vadazara, Daf Gimel, Amud Aleph, again, on to base. Amul Fanav. So the nations will now say to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, everyone knows this one, Moshe Vanasa, you know what? Give us a Torah and we'll do it. You know what? If you want to give us a Torah, we'll also start keeping the Torah. So Hashem says, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you, everyone knows this, I'm going to give you an easy mitzvah. Okay? Here's a really, really easy mitzvah. The sukkah. Okay? Go do it. Okay? Now, it says, why does he give them the mitzvah of sukkah? Because, let me use the words, Meshum delays bei chisaron kis. I always find double negatives confusing. It doesn't have in it a lack of a pocket, i.e., it does have a pocket. Whatever that means for the moment. Why sukkah? Because sukkah has a pocket. It seems to be it doesn't cost you, which seems to be totally the opposite, because sukkahs cost a fortune. So what does that mean, that sukkah doesn't cost you, and sukkah actually costs an absolute fortune? Okay, especially if you buy it from. So. What does it mean that it doesn't have a pocket to it? So there we go again. I'll give you an easy mitzvah. Why is it easy? Because it has a pocket to it. Okay. So what does he do? They all go out into the sukkah. Hashem makes the sun go out, and then it's too hot, and they go, humbug, and they slam the door of the sukkah, and they go out. And the question afterwards is, what's wrong? You don't have a mitzvah when it's sunny. Yeah, but they shouldn't have slammed the door. It seems like Hashem's playing a bit of a fun game with them. What's going on? The question is, why is it that sukkah's easier? What's specifically easy about the sukkah? And what do you mean it doesn't cost money when it costs a fortune? Okay? Why specifically this mitzvah? There are plenty, plenty of mitzvahs which Hashem can give. There are plenty of easier mitzvahs. What is it specifically about sukkah that Hashem gives to the non-Jewish people? So, If we look at Shulchan Aruch Harav, Aruch Haim, Hilchos Sukkah, Siman Saf Reish Lamed Tes, it says, "B'sukkos teishvu shivas yamim." Okay, you should dwell in Sukkos for 7 days. The lamdu mipni hashmura teishvu ke'ein tzuro. The halacha, which everyone knows, is that you have to dwell in it as if you're living. Klaima, kederach shehu da kol hashana b'beiso. The same way that you live in it the whole year round, that's what the Torah says you have to do inside a sukkah. Okay, and you have to be able to put it inside a bed and furnish it with all your utensils. So here we go. We said beforehand, you have a maisa mitzvah and you have the living. Now again, with a maisa mitzvah, is it the kavana which makes the mitzvah? No, it's not. It is be'etzem a mitzvah, as opposed to when you have eating and sleeping and walking and talking. The mitzvah is not a maisa mitzvah. You need the kavana to be able to make it. So again, the Romans, when you build a bridge, the problem was you didn't have the kavana. Hashem says, "I'll give you an easy mitzvah." What's easy about sukkah? You know what? You can eat and you can walk and you can talk and you get on with the work. All you have to do is do it in the sukkah, and you don't even have to have kavana. Because in the sukkah, it's no longer the mitzvah of eating and drinking. Rather, it turns it into a maisa mitzvah. So when I'm eating in the sukkah, it's not just, oh, I'm eating and I'm having the right kavana. It is a maisa mitzvah when I'm sleeping. It's not that I have to have the right kavanas beforehand, which then makes it into a mitzvah. The sleeping in the sukkah is a maisa mitzvah, which means it's easier than all the other mitzvahs, in the sense that all you have to do is just live. You don't even have to bother with your kavanas, and you've already got a maisa mitzvah. You, when it comes to the going, what was the problem? The problem is that you didn't have the right machshavas. So I'll give you an easy one. Just go in the sukkah, live life how you probably whatever you want to do, and it's a maisa mitzvah. That's why Hashem specifically gives the mitzvah of sukkah. However, what's wrong with it? Why do they go out? Why do they stamp it? This ideology of living normally as a service of Hashem, that is foreign when it comes to Goyim. That is a foreign concept. And you can see an incredible halacha here, which it was new to me when I just saw it the first time, that Rambam says, Hilchos Maaseh HaKavanos, Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel. If a Nochri, okay, says that he wants to bring a Shlamim, okay, he comes to the base of Mikdash, he says, I want to bring a korban shlamim. Okay? What's the halacha? You give him an oila. Because libo l'shamayim. You give him an oila because his heart must be for shamayim. Now, what's the difference between a shlamim and an oila? Shlamim is where you barbecue, pretty much you barbecue the food and everyone eats it. An oila, nobody eats it. Oila is a sacrifice, literally, that you've given it up, nobody gets to eat from it. But when it comes to a shlamim, all you do is you barbecue it on a mizbeach, and then everybody eats it. So now comes along the goy, and he says, I want to bring a shlamim. The Rambam says, he doesn't mean a shlamim, he means an oiler. Why? Because libo l'shamayim, because his intention is for Shem Shamayim. Or, what's the connection? So it means this, is that a guy can't understand the concept that you can live your life normally and that's called an avodah. It can't be that I'm eating and drinking, that's called serving Hashem. It can't be. To serve Hashem, that means I've got to be a poiresh. It means that I have to separate myself from all physicality. I can't eat and sleep. I have to stop eating all. I can't eat the chocolate cake and serve Hashem. It's got to be that the way you serve Hashem is keeping yourself away from all that. It can't be, if you really want to be kadosh, it can't be that you can be married. It's EF sure to be married. It's got to be that you separate yourself from the physical world. You've got to be a poiresh, and that's the way to serve Hashem. So now to say, I want to give a karbam. And Rambam says, they really mean it. They're libo l'shamayim. It's not that they're trying to trick and really they want to do whatever. No, they want to do avodas Hashem. So when they want to do avodas Hashem, they say, please bring a shlamim. He doesn't mean a shlamim. Because a shlamim, we get to eat. And he won't understand that concept. 1 minute, I want to give a sacrifice. I want to do something for God. And you're saying that I'm eating? No, I want to give something up. And therefore we say it's got to be that he wants it an oiler. It must be the oiler he wanted, because the oiler, he doesn't receive anything in return. That is a true sacrifice. So let me now explain about the pocket concept. What do I mean by there's no pocket? There are two types of mitzvahs. There are certain mitzvahs where there is something where you gain something at the end of the day, and there's some mitzvahs where you don't gain something. So if you take the example of tzedakah, it does, you don't receive anything, rather you're giving it all away. So there's nothing left in your pocket. Okay? But if it comes to another mitzvah where there's something which you gain in it whilst doing it, so say marriage, you're gaining something when you're married, it's a mitzvah, that is a mitzvah which has a kiss. It has a pocket. So a mitzvah with no pocket means a mitzvah where you're left with nothing afterwards. It's an oila. It's one where you're sacrificing everything, there's nothing gained at the end. But a mitzvah which doesn't lack a pocket, i.e. it does have a pocket, is a mitzvah where there's something which you can get once you finish with it. So eating chulent on Shabbos, okay, is something where you get something afterwards. You don't put the chulent in the pocket, but it means that there's something which you gain by doing that mitzvah. So, what does it mean that Hashem gave the goyim the mitzvah the mitzvah of sukkah, which doesn't lack a pocket? It's got a pocket. Meaning that when you're sitting in the sukkah, you're not giving a sacrifice and using everything, but you're enjoying food. You're allowed to eat in that, and that's still considered part of the mitzvah. I'm getting the benefit of the eating. I'm getting the benefit of living and sleeping in my sukkah. And therefore, that's the problem. So therefore, what did the goyim have the problem with it? The issue the goyim have with this mitzvah is that, one minute, we said to God, we want to do a mitzvah. And that means I want to do a sacrifice. And now Hashem says, sit in the sukkah. You sit in the sukkah and you have a benefit to it. That I don't get. The goyim say, I can't get that. I'm happy to do an oila. I'm happy to sacrifice. But for me to have a benefit at the end of the day, that doesn't make any sense. Go on.
According to that pshat, why does the medrash need to say the sun needs to come out very strong and beat down?
Okay, so this is the bit where it doesn't say it mefurish in the Sissi Chaim, but this is where I honestly believe this is where it's going to. This, and here's the test. Here's the test. When the sun comes out, okay, this is not the way you'd read the Gemara. Again, how do you read the Gemara? The Gemara is that they went in, the sun comes out, woohoo, we got ourselves a patur, they go out and they kick it because they're so happy they don't have to do the mitzvah. Okay? That's the way Peshat is doing it. I'm now actually, I think the way actually doing it is the opposite. It goes as follows. The goyim go in, and it becomes sun, it now becomes really sunny, and they're sweltering hot, and they're not enjoying it at all. Now the goyim say, Baruch Hashem, great, now we can do the mitzvah like an oila. We're not getting any hana because that's what a mitzvah is. A mitzvah is a sacrifice. But then Hashem says, excuse me, there's no mitzvah to sit in when it's sunny. Because this is a mitzvah which has to have a pocket. It's only a mitzvah to live in it when you're living in it. That is the mitzvah. The goyim say, what? That's a mitzvah? A mitzvah when there's no sacrifice? What I'm meant to gain from it? Rubbish! And therefore they kick it into disdain and saying, how can that be Avodas Hashem? There's no such thing as Avodas Hashem when you gain something it. If it's chulent, it can't be in the Kaddish Shemayim. The only way you can be in Kaddish Shemayim is by sacrificing. That's why. So again, it totally flips the Gemara. It's not that they're saying, oh, Baruch Hashem, we can't do the mitzvah. It's that it's hot and they're saying, now we're doing the mitzvah. Now we're performing the mitzvah. And Hashem says, I'm sorry, but if you're mitzvah, you're a shaita. That's not called the mitzvah. Get out the sukkah. They get out the sukkah and they say, I don't make no sense. And that's actually what the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, the chola patrum in the sukkah, any yotzim isham. Anyone who's left from the sukkah, don't leave there. Chola patrum in the sukkah, for any yotzim isham. Anyone who's patrum from the sukkah, but doesn't leave the sukkah, ena mekabal alav scha, ve'ena ela hediyot. He doesn't get any scha for it. It's pouring, raining, the soup's getting all ruined, and he doesn't lead. He's not getting scharf in mitzvah. He's called an idiot. Mishaburonat, hediot. So, how much more so if someone wants to be machmir and kishiyodim gishamim when the water comes down, the rain comes down, veleilach asukkah, and he goes into the sukkah, ulevarech shem hamoitzi, or bekas leishev basukkah, and now he makes the bracha leishev basukkah and the pouring rain, v'achakach lecho and bebayis, v'hari bracha lebatala. That is a bracha lavatala. It's not being from. It's not called. You made a bracha. You say Hashem's name in vain. How can you do that? Afilu yochel sham basuka achilas kevach. It's considered nothing. Therefore, that's the message. What is between us and the goyim? How's it go? Again, let's just go through the whole thing. It starts off with the first stage that the goyim, they build bridges. They say, give us a schar. Hashem says, there's no schar. You didn't have the right kavana. Oh, well, give us a mitzvah. Fine, I'll give you an easy one. This one's absolutely easy. All you have to do is you don't have to have the right kavanas because it's going to be a maisa mitzvah as opposed to the mitzvah, which is only a mitzvah when you're having the right das. So stick them in the sukkah. Great. Where's the sacrifice? We want a sacrifice. Hashem brings out the sun. Great. Now we're doing the mitzvah as a sacrifice. Hashem says, I'm sorry, you misunderstood it. To be able to get close to me, you don't have to make that sacrifice. Actually, well, that's only the lower level. The ultimate level of Yid is that you take the Gashmi, you take the Lulav Ne'esrog, and you take that, and you start shaking it, and you start eating in the sukkah, you start sleeping in the sukkah. That's a mitzvah. If you mistire, it's no mitzvah. They say, rubbish. What are you talking about? And they kick down the sukkah in disdain because they can't understand the concept. As far as they're concerned, that the only way to be a proper Oved Hashem is to be a Poyresh. That's the difference between us and when it comes to the Goyim. The Goyim are Purishim, but we have the ability to see beyond that. And actually, yes, you have to go through the level of Precious. You can't be Makadi. You have to have a Yom Kippur before Sukkos. You can't be involved in the Gashmi unless actually you have the ability, or the Yom Kippur, to be able to say no. I can keep myself away. It's like you can't be Makadish Chulant on Shabbos if you can't help yourself from Chulant. If you can't, when you see Chulant, you just can't not eat it, then it's a joke saying, I'm doing it L'Shem Shabbos. It's not L'Shem Aybach. Right? It's not. But if I have the ability to be able to say, no, I don't have to have that Chulant, I have the ability, my first stage is I can be a Poyresh, I don't have to eat it, then that's not the highest level. The highest level is that I can eat the Chulant, but I'm eating it L'Shem Shemaim. Good mind.
Yeah. 20 minutes.